Thank you, Brother Danny. Thank you, Brother Danny.
Thank you.
This morning, I could not have done a better job.
Amen.
And you say, well, I can. Well, next year, I hope you do. You come on and do it next year. I'm thankful for Brother Danny. I'm thankful for Ms. Barbara Willoughby this morning and Tracy. I'm thankful for those this morning who used their times, their talents, and their treasures to memorialize those that have passed on this past year. And who knows, maybe next year your name might be mentioned in those who have been faithful to God in Riverside this morning. If you would, grab your Bible. Let's kick the tires and light the fires this morning. I hope you're ready to study Romans chapter number 12 this morning. This morning, you might notice we got some little ones in the congregation, which is not anything different. They're usually here every Sunday, and they're inside. And I'm glad they're here this morning. So church member or church attender, be glad that we got little voices in here. And sometimes they'll amen me, amen me, amen me, amen me. And I'm glad they're here this morning. Let's open our Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 12. For the last 6 months, if you've not been with us, we've gone verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And woo-wee, you've missed some good ones if you hadn't been here. Last week, I actually preached a straight hour. I started right at 10 o'clock, and I went and finished at 11. And that was something that we don't usually do, and we couldn't do that today, but I was prepared to do it today. But this morning, we won't go straight an hour because some of us is getting hungry. And this morning, I was outside while Brother Danny was doing the memorial service, speaking with some of our drive-in members this morning. I got to say hey to them, but I noticed as I was outside, there was a smell in the air, and it was burnt chicken, not the burnt bad kind, but a burnt bird. It was a grilled chicken this morning that's smelling good. I want to thank Larry and Jeff this morning, Brother Tracy, who are preparing our meal. After service this morning, we ask that you go ahead out to your car. You go ahead and sit there and somebody will be with you, just like this is Sonic. You just sit in the car and somebody will come up and make sure and take your order to make sure you go home with some yummy lunch this morning. And I want to make sure you get something, because if you don't, I got to eat leftovers all week. So please take home some grilled chicken this morning. Open to Romans chapter number 12. Last week we spoke about that Paul was appealing to us, therefore, brothers. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. That therefore is there because of the last 315 verses that before this, 11 chapters, he was talking about all that God had done. And in light of what God has done, therefore, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what God did in the earlier chapters. And now this is how we are to live our days. He says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. We talked about this last week, that it's the mercy of God that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, that you can't do it on your own. If you go to an AA meeting and you sit there and you introduce yourself, you'll always say the same thing. Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Because they teach you in AA, you'll always be an alcoholic. You'll just be in rehab. You'll be recovering. But by the power and the mercies of God, we know that we are new creatures with new features, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That we're born again. That we're made new. You might be an alcoholic here today, but by the power and the mercies of God, you won't stay that way. You might be a porn addict today. You might be addicted to meth. You might have track marks up your arm. You might be a lustful, unforgiving, bitter person, but by the mercies of God, you won't stay that way. Amen. I know it's 10:50, but hang with me. You can amen to preach it. I don't know if you know the homecoming rules. The more you amen, the better the preaching gets. Woo, amen. There we go. Y'all working with me. This morning he says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we saw how God commanded that he had dead sacrifices, that they're to kill the animal and lay it on the altar. But in the New Testament, that we are to be living sacrifices. And the problem with living sacrifices is they wiggle off the altar. Did you hear me this morning? That sometimes we go to church, we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I exalt thee. That hit me right here preaching. You said a word. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. We gather our Bible. We get in our cars. And we cuss out somebody in the parking lot because they cut us off. We just wiggle off that altar. I know they ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody in here. I'm talking about me. Preacher, you cuss. You understand that I'm a living sacrifice, that some days I have to tie myself to the altar. Nobody in here has to tie themselves. I know when you walk in your house, there ain't nothing but rainbows and doves. I know that you never sin, but maybe you need to know something about your preacher, that I lean heavily upon grace, that I need mercy, that I'm flawed in my character, that I'm addicted to sin, that all I can do is sin unless God intervenes and changes me. Come on. That unless God changes my heart and my mindset, that I will always sin and I will never please Him. So I must trust solely in the work of Jesus Christ and appoint myself to walk and yield in my members, like we learn in Hebrew, in chapter number 10, to yield my members to honor God. We see here that a living sacrifice is holy and acceptable to God. Are you acceptable to God this morning? We've already touched on that earlier, how you can be holy. How you honor God by keeping His commandments and His statutes. But are you acceptable to God? Which is your spiritual worship. Many people believe they're doing God a favor by showing up today. Don't look at them. Makes them nervous. This morning He says that is our acceptable worship. That's what you should do. That's what you're called to do. It's your acceptable worship. That you are to worship God by living your life as a living sacrifice. That is a requirement. It's acceptable unto God by living, being a living and holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Spiritual worship is not showing up on Sunday mornings and tithing. Spiritual worship is not volunteering for the choir. Spiritual worship is not volunteering at the food bank. Spiritual worship is not cooking chicken on homecoming. Spiritual worship is not teaching Sunday school. Spiritual worship is living your everyday 24/7, 365 days a year, all the time, always, a spiritual worship before God.
Amen.
And how do you do that? By His mercies.
Forgive us, Jesus.
Preacher, you're telling us to do something we just can't do. I know. For we read here, He says, do not be consumed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. Many churches, they got flat screens, skinny jeans, smoke machines, and they look just like the world, trying to win the world. But you know, here at Riverside, we just simply want to give you Jesus.
Amen.
We're otherworldly. You say, I ain't never been to a homecoming like this. Well, I ain't never preached one like this before. But I'm glad you're here, that we're not to be conformed to the image of the world. We're not to look like the world. We're to be kadosh, as the Hebrew word means to be sanctified, to be cut apart, to be separated. Imagine we have some people in front here and they held up a quilt and they held it and stretched it tight and someone took some scissors and cut off the corner. That's what to be sanctified means, to be cut away, to be different, to look different, to act different, to speak differently than the rest of the world. Now how do we do that? You seem to forget it's His mercies that causes you to do this. You can't buy your grit and your power egg on yourself to stop cussing. You can't make yourself to be sober. You can't train your mind to think positive thoughts, because you can sit in hell sober. Woo, somebody hear me this morning. And you can sit in hell having positive. It's hard to think positive when you're on fire for an eternity. So I'm not trying to give you positive affirmations this morning. I'm not trying to tell you to be a better person, because right where you are, the way you are, Jesus died for sinners like you and I. While we were yet sinners is what Romans chapter 5 verse 10. While verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for sinners like me. Come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. Did you hear me this morning? He says, come as you are, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind is to change the way you think. Many people entertain God. They entertain the sins that kill the Christ. They entertain them. They let them in their house. They prop their feet up on the coffee table. They cook them dinner. They entertain the very sins that put Jesus on the cross and claim to love Jesus all the while. Talk about an ultimate betrayal. But Lord, I can't do anything but sin. Well, you miss Romans chapter 6 and 7. Well, we spoke about all you can do with sin. That's your nature. You were born into sin. What are you supposed to do? So you just come to church and have the preacher browbeat you every week until you straighten up and fly right? Do you volunteer to take away the guilt? Do you go see a psychiatrist until you're dull because of medication and you still carry the guilt of your sin upon you your entire life? No, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, whoever you are. Come to Jesus. Are you saying it's wrong to have a therapist? No, you can have a therapist and talk to Jesus. Amen, somebody. You can have a doctor and have ailments in your body and still talk to the great physician who is Jesus. Amen. Even Luke was a doctor. I'm preaching better than y'all acting this morning, but that's all right. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By reading your word daily. No read, no feed. Don't fill your belly if you ain't going to fill your heart and mind with God's word when there's so much that pulls at you and tears at you, that rips you apart and shreds you, that tries to tell you who you are. When Jesus is our identity, Jesus tells us who we are and who we belong to. We don't find our identity in our skin. Our theology is not skin deep. Amen, somebody. White privilege, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff could go away if you just preach Jesus. For there's no Jew nor Gentile. When Jesus is on the scene, when that Jew who died on the cross, his blood ran red and it washed away the darkness of my sin and set this captive free only by the blood of Jesus. Not more education and not reparations and not education and not those things, but give me that old gospel that I can renew my mind and my spirit and trust in Jesus. So if we just preach the gospel in our society, there will be no blue line. Defund the police. We can defend the police while we preach the gospel. Amen. Do you remember about 20 years ago? It was the police who ran into the Twin Towers to save lives. And today, we want to defund them and beat them. Let's pray for them. Those are our sons and our daughters and our mamas and daddies out there fighting to protect neighborhoods and protect people. Amen. That you renew your mind by reading God's word. That the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. The standard that you use to find out what is the will of God is the word of God. Sometimes people can't distinguish from the voice of God in their own voice. Oh, I'm going to marry that man. But that man's already married. That ain't the Holy Ghost telling you that. Somebody didn't hear me this morning. I want to do what I want to do as long as I'm happy. That ain't the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't tell you to be happy. He tell you to be holy. Holy leads to happiness. When your heart is corrupt and wicked, all your heart is wanting to do is be satisfied. And it's only satisfied by filth and depravity. Come to Jesus and He'll change your heart. Come to Jesus and He'll change your mind. Come to Jesus and He will slay sin that reigns over you and set you free.
Amen.
Verse number 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with a sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We see here in verse 3 that Paul is saying something boldly to the church in Rome. He's telling them, you ain't that important. It ain't about you. Many people believe that the church is like Sam's Club, that you can become a member and you get benefits from it. That the preacher should stop by your house every other day to make sure you're reading your Bible. To wipe your nose. To make sure you're doing right. That's not my job. That's your job. Woo! Somebody's waving me on over here, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not a wet nanny. This is not assisted living. This is a battleship. Trust in Jesus. Onward, Christian soldiers. It's not backsliders. It's not a member. It's not a country club. That's not what I do. I'm here to equip the saints for ministry, to preach the gospel to the broken and tell of the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, for the grace that's given to me. Paul had some hard things to say, and it took God's hand on him and His mercy to say it. If I wanted your approval, do you think I'd preach this way? I couldn't preach this way if I was scared of your snails and if I was applauded by your smiles. I can't be bought off that easy. But there are days. There are days I say, God, they ain't going to like me if I say that. God, they're going to crucify me just like they crucified you. They'll put my head on a platter like they did John the Baptist because he told somebody, don't be shacking up. But it's worth it. Because I love you. I love you. Let me use the analogy. There's some babies over here, and I'm glad to hear. I love to hear babies talking. I love to know, because it lets me know that the church is alive. But how much you got to hate them babies as mom and daddy to let them play in the street and not say nothing? Let me explain. Imagine those children playing out here on this busy road and traffic coming back and forth, and those babies are just carrying on. And you have an ought against their parents or their grandparents, and you don't say nothing because you want to see those babies harmed. You must really hate those, that family and those children. Or out of love, you scream at the top of your lungs, "Hey! Hey! Get out of the road! Get out of the road! Move!" Or you run and you sprint as fast as you can to snatch those children from danger. Amen. You do it out of love.
Amen.
Preacher, you sound hateful. Many times urgency sounds like it's scary. Urgency sounds almost hateful. But this is love. Some of you are on the highway to hell. You're on the highway to hell. You're going to burn for an eternity. God's wrath is on you. All while you're sitting in your pew saying, "I'm a Christian." You deceived yourself, not keeping His commandments and His statutes and His laws. And the preacher stands at the pulpit and says, "Hey! Hey! Stop! Turn around! Repent of your sins."
Amen.
If I hated you, I'll say, keep on doing it. It's all right. Keep on sinning. As long as you keep tithing, it's all right. That means you bought me. That means I tickle your ears. You know, salt and sugar look the same until you taste them.
That's right.
Salt preserves. The sugar will sweeten you and even give you diabetes until you're spiritually blind and your feet rot off. You ain't going to get no diabetes here. Paul says, "Well, the grace that's given to me, I got to say some hard stuff." Y'all can have a vote of confidence at the next meeting and say, "We don't want that preacher anymore." That's okay. God will move me wherever He wants the word to be received. And He'll put a preacher in here who'll tell you and pinch your cheeks and say, "You're cutesy little sinners. God loves you. You defile sinner, a stench in God's nostril. But God loves you." But you got one who'll sit here today and say, "Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus." I'm not telling you to be a member at Riverside. If you don't come here and you haven't been in 6 months, we have inside out at church. You can come inside or outside. And you say, "Well, I haven't been in 6 months, but I haven't been anywhere. I haven't studied my Bible. I actually read the crossword. It said Jesus one time, but that's about it." Are you presenting your body as a living sacrifice? Are you holy and presentable before God? It takes somebody with graces and mercy to be able to stand here and say that to a people like this people in a place like this place. "Preacher, who made you mad?" I'm not mad. I pray for you that you'll repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. I'm pleading with you. You who keep shacking up. You who keep lying. You who gossip. You who are addicted to any kind of substance you can shove into your nostril or up your nose and your veins. You who are porn addicts. You who are angry and bitter. You who dishonor the Sabbath day and despise it. You who worship things smaller than Jesus. It takes a man with God's grace on him to stand before you and say hard and heavy things. Don't applaud the man. Applaud God. He will take these dry bones to stand before you and speak His truth. Don't go to a church where they applaud your sin and patty cake you. It's like going to a heart surgeon who plays games with you while you're going into cardiac arrest right in front of them. Whoever you are, repent of your sins. And if you get in your car on the way home and you look over to the person riding with you and you say, was he talking about me? Was he talking about me? I feel like he was talking about me. Was he said what I do. Is he talking about? Yes, I'm talking about you. Let's go ahead and clear up the rumors. I'm not taking pot shots at anybody. It's my job to stand here and preach the gospel. And if you walk out of here mad and offended, I did my job, because either you're offended or you're repented.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody. Amen, preacher. Keep on preaching. Don't stop. Don't quit it. Get it. Amen.
Amen.
For by the grace given to me, is what Paul said, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, preacher, you need to hear that, because you're up on a stage on a high horse right now. No, I'm not. He's not saying to compare yourself to other people. He's saying compare yourself to God. Then think more highly of yourself. That you don't need church. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a pastor. What you want is a rancher. You don't want a shepherd. You want a rancher. Somebody who comes around, makes sure the fences are okay. They don't get involved in my life. Well, you didn't call me preacher. It's not my job to call you. My job is to call you to repentance. But you want a rancher that just gathers up a crowd. But a shepherd comes along and finds and says, hey, here, let's grow in grace here. Let's repent here. Let's show mercy. And a shepherd doesn't drive you like a sheepdog. A shepherd leads. As I preach holiness, don't you think I'm trying in my life to walk in holiness? That I'm repentant? I don't watch everything that comes on TV. I don't listen to every conversation, whether it's about me or not. That I'm committing myself to righteousness and holiness. And you might say, well, it won't be long before you fall. Please pray for me. Please pray for this preacher. That Satan does not reap me or my family and destroy me to make a mockery of God. That I'm faithful when I stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I have a long tenure here at Riverside. That I'll be here 30, 40 years, still standing here in old age, gripping the pulpit, preaching the gospel unadulterated. That we are to think, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That we don't compare horizontally but vertically. Even Moses was written about in the book of Exodus. It says that he was the meekest man on the planet. Well, we laugh and say, well, Moses wrote that. Of course he said that. But we also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, that all Scripture is inspired, written by God, for God. That when it was written, God meant it. He said it. That Moses was meek. Meek is not weak.
Amen.
It means humble. Not fake humility. Humble. It's when you realize who you are. Not before men, but before God. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, He said, outside of me, you can do about 80% capacity. No, He didn't say that. Outside of me, you got about 75% chance of, you know, you might make it, you might not. Jesus wanted a weatherman who says it's a 50-50 chance of the rain. I could say that. It might rain, it might not. Pay me. Jesus said, outside of me, you can do nothing. Wait a minute, what's that nothing mean? That means that I can't be a good father outside of Him. I just can't. I can't be a good church member. I can't be a good pastor. I can't be a good citizen. I can't be a good son or a daughter, a wife, a mother or a father outside of Jesus. Outside of me, you can do nothing. And when you realize that, it sure does humble you.
Amen.
Let me say it again. It humbles you.
Amen.
Who here will say, I got here on my own?
Thank you for
who here will say, I got here by my own ingenuity and my own strength? Lamentations 3:22 says, His mercies are new every morning. If it was not His mercies that awakened you to awake this morning, you'd still be in your bed, probably without breath. His mercies are new this morning. I'm so thankful they're new this morning, because I used all of yesterday's mercies up. I used all of it up yesterday. And I didn't even save any for leftover mercy today. You know leftover mercy. cold in the middle and the microwave hot pocket, leftover hard around the edges, crusty cornbread, leftover mercy. I don't know about that. I got to have a new batch every morning. So if you're here today and you feel unqualified for heaven, if you feel dirty and stained and ruined, welcome to the family. Ain't nobody here revived. Ain't nobody here born into salvation. Nobody here is a grandchild to grace. But each individual person stands before God and they either reject Him or He accepts them.
Amen.
By repentance and humility. That the pride is struck down this morning. That you're broken and saying, God, I can't do anything. I can't do this without You. And you don't necessarily have to be talking about ministry. That you can't even have your next breath without Him. Well, why do people still live in sin, you might ask? It's like the philosophy student asking the professor, God in His infinite power and majesty, why does He allow such depravity and wickedness among the earth? And to put that plainly, is why the bad stuff happens. Why does God still allow bad things? Why don't He wipe out all the bad things? If He's God and He's all powerful, why don't He just get rid of all the evil in the world? The answer to that is, if He got rid of all the evil, there'd be nobody left. I don't think you heard me. That means you and me would be gone. He would snap His fingers and we'd be gone. But in His forbearance and in His grace, He puts up with sinners day by day. He puts up with their distrust. He puts up with their gossip and their lying. And He puts up with their blaspheming. He puts up with their adultery. He puts up with their covetousness. He puts up with their lying and their stealing. He puts up with it because He's long-suffering and patient and kind and steadfast and loving until they repent. Maybe today's your day to repent. Today is your day to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Will You take me as I am? Broken, untethered, confused. Lord, I haven't renewed my mind daily. I've renewed it by social media. I've renewed it by what Facebook tells me, or TikTok. I renew it by what Twitter tells me I should think, or the TV. I renew it by the crossword puzzle in the Wall Street Journal. I renew it by what the networks tell me to think. But Lord, I don't know what You think. Here I am. The preacher has shown me. He has exposed me for what I am. A liar, an adulterer, a murderer, a heart holding back forgiveness. An idol worshiper, bitter, angry, a gossiping. Jesus, will You take me as I am? This is the part of homecoming where we're supposed to play the piano. It's supposed to be some soft music to pull on your emotions. We're not going to do that. This is the part where the preacher says, everybody close your eyes and bow your head. We're not going to do that either.
Anyway, Jesus.
If you can't say, Jesus, take me as I am with everybody looking around and no eyes closed, you ain't going to be able to do it outside these doors in this world. Jesus, here I am. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Clean me. For I'm lame, depraved, and wicked. Forgive me. Help me. If that's all you can pray is just, help me, Lord. He understands. Believe me.
Amen.
If you can't pray for your enemies without grinding your teeth, it's a start. Maybe you ain't prayed in a long time. Amen. Today's a good day to start. Jesus, here I am. I came today for the chicken, but I stay for the grace. Amen. Somebody, amen. That chicken smells good out there, y'all. Don't leave. He says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, don't think of yourself more likely, more highly than you ought. That we believe that we benefit to the church, that we are holding the church up, but it's God. In the last 6 months, Riverside has grown. Did you know that? What do you mean? Where's everybody at then? Don't worry about that. They've grown. The roots have grown. And all you have to do is send adversity in the way of the church, and the church gets stronger. Do you remember about 3 years ago when the flood came through and wiped everything away? It was God's grace and His mercy that held the church together. And we've seen pandemics. We've seen floods. We've seen gossip, people tearing down the ministry. We've seen people storm off in anger and jealousy. We've seen all of that. And I'm sure there's more to see. But through it all, God has kept us steady. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna be times I cried myself to sleep. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna tell you been times that I haven't been depressed or seen somebody walk out of this church angry and mad because we couldn't wipe their nose and patty cake them while they lived in sin. I ain't gonna lie and say there's still people I pray for that probably will never step foot through this church again, but I still pray for them nevertheless that God will save them.
Amen.
This is His church. This ain't Kevin's church. He can replace me like that. Very easily, it's no problem for him. If you're here on Wednesday nights, you know of the story of the children of Israel who walked into the River Jordan and they carried the ark. They carried the ark and the water piled up on every side and they stood on dry land. God could have done it without the priest holding the ark. He had no problem doing it without him. But they couldn't do it without God. Let me tell you this morning, I could not be here preaching what I'm preaching without the power and the mercies of God. You could not be here today after a pandemic. Let's think about 2020. At the beginning of the year was World War III. We thought we were going to go to war with China. Then there was murder hornets. And I remember something about bears with bazookas. I think, I don't know. And then we had a pandemic. Then we're in phase 1 and 2, 2.5. Who knows? When you go to Walmart, you got to wear a face mask. You can't go to Popeyes and go in and eat anymore. Chick-fil-A closed at 2 o'clock. What are we going to do? But thank God for His mercies and grace that He has kept us.
Amen.
Now Chick-fil-A closes at 8. Amen. But God has kept us. God has kept His hand on us and He has not forgotten His people, nor has He forsaken us. He has trimmed our schedule. Let's be honest. We don't go out like we once did because of the pandemic. We found a lot more time at home. But our depraved hearts find other things to do to fill our time. Whether you're on FaceFight, is what I call it, Facebook, or whether you're doom scrolling or you're looking at video games, whatever you're doing to fill your time, we have not renewed our minds daily. And now let this homecoming 2020 line like any other. Let it remind you that outside of Him you can do nothing. That you're not going to make it through the pandemic without Him. You won't even make it through the rest of the day without Him. I won't even make it to the end of this sentence without Him.
Amen.
That we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That we're not autonomous outside the power of God. That we don't need God. See, we pray that way. What you mean, preacher? We pray like atheists. What do you mean by that? That means we don't pray. We claim to be Christians, but we don't pray. We claim to be dependent upon Him for everything, but we don't ask Him nothing. If we don't get up and grind to get it, we ain't going to get it, is what we believe. But the preacher stands before you this morning that all mercies come from Him. All graces come from Him. All your strength comes from Him. And let me finish this morning by apologizing. I should have preached harder. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, this morning we have come together not just for grilled chicken and to hear a wonderful group sing, but this morning we've gathered to honor and glorify the name of Jesus.